Thank you for the many ways that you reveal yourself to us. Lord, help us to have open eyes, open ears, open hearts, open minds, receptive spirits to what you are saying to us and to how you reveal your holiness, your majesty, your love and your grace to us, Lord. May we be more and more receptive to the ways that you speak to us. Lord, help us to hear you more and more. And Lord, will you help us to reveal you in our lives and the ways that we live and the ways that we praise you to others who don't yet know you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the joy that knowing that you're speaking to those around us, the neighbours, the colleagues, the friends, the family that don't know you. You're speaking to them already. Lord, give them the open eyes and open ears and open hearts to you, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. Just going to pray for Levi before he reads from God's word and explains and expounds on it. Lord God, we thank you for Levi and for the fact that he spends his days professionally trying to live for you and share your good news with others. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful perspective that brings, living in a different country and engaging with a very different culture with your good news, Lord Jesus. Well, thank you for the ways that you've been working in his life over the years and growing him in his faith and in his likeness of you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would speak through him to us this evening. And Lord, help us to hear what you're saying, Lord, through your word and through your spirit and through Levi. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, if you have a Bible, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 17. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the glory that displays the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So, this is the end or the final part of the series, looking at kind of Christian values and particularly kind of Baptist distinctives. And it does feel kind of awkward to be speaking on freedom of religion, given that we're in a series of kind of truths that we hold to be, you know, true, and we know that other people don't hold to them. And not only that, but if you were here last week or if you listened online, you heard Helen sharing about mission and the call to mission. You know, as Christians, whether we're staying here in Headingley or whether going over to places like Japan, that we're called to make disciples of Christ, to share the gospel. So we have that kind of the call to mission on one hand, and yet we have this holding to freedom of religion on the other. So Helen shared last week this great quote at the end by Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And in case anyone here doesn't know, I've been working out in Japan as a missionary for the last 4 years, and so that quote was a real encouragement and strengthening to me. And I think, yeah, you know, I'm going to go and there's going to be sacrifices, but actually, for Christ's sake, it's worth it. And it keeps me going and wanting to make disciples of Christ. But then actually, you do come back to this idea of religious freedom, and that kind of comes like another kind of barrier because, you know, we're about Jesus, and we want to share about Jesus Christ, but, you know, you talk to people and people will say to you, well, you know, it's great for you, but actually, isn't it, you know, religions are like we have a big mountain and, you know, you're going up this way and other people are going up this path and, you know, some people want to kind of free climb the kind of the cliff and other people want to go a bit more leisurely and kind of walk up the long winding path. You know, there's all these different ways to get to the top, and the main thing is just that we all get to the top and we don't kind of get in each other's way and we respect each other's differences. Or you may have heard the story, people the blind men and the elephant. You know, the idea that there's this room and inside the room there's an elephant. And there's these blind men who are trying to work out what it is because they can't see it, obviously. And so, you know, one person's on the side and he's like, oh, it's like a giant boulder, like this massive rock. And this other guy's down on the leg and he's like, no. This is very obviously a tree. And there's this guy over here and he's just like, what are you talking about? It's like a giant snake. Because that's the trunk. And then there's, you know, this kind of other wiser man who's blind and he's listening to this and he's like, oh, you know, you fools, don't you see that each of you only has a little bit of the truth? You're not seeing the big picture. Each of you has a little bit of the truth. And all of you are touching something true and real, but actually no one knows all of the truth of what's going on here. And that's what we get told. Like, it's great for you to have your religion, your belief, but you know that's maybe a bit of the truth, or you know it's your truth. And you know, we're all of us, we're kind of making our way up this mountain. And anyway, you know, we're all blind. No one can really see the truth. And I think when you read passages like we have today, well, actually, yeah, that's kind of true. Blind people trying to work their way up a mountain is a pretty good analogy for what it's like apart from Christ. We are blind. This is what we just read just before, chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's true for all of us, apart from Christ, that we are blind. And not only that, Jesus, when he was talking to people, and you know, he came, and even people who had started to kind of listen to him and believe on him, John chapter 8, I'll read from verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the Son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So not only are we blind, but see, Jesus says, apart from him, We are slaves to sin. And this is really kind of awkward because I'm going to be talking about freedom of religion, and yet the Bible here is teaching that we're all not free, we're slaves. And not only are we slaves, but we're blind slaves. But I guess I should still say some more because it's only 6 minutes. So let's look through this passage in 2 Corinthians, because I think there are some really helpful things in here, actually, about how do we put these two things together? How do we put together the call to mission with the value of respecting other people's religion and of religious freedom? So the first thing, there's a few things here about how we do that. Actually, there's a couple about what things we shouldn't do. So chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." And, you know, the first time I read that, I was like, wait, we don't lose heart? Paul's talking in this passage about how people are blind, And our ministry is to preach them the truth about Christ, but they can't see him because they're blind. And we're meant to not lose heart. But did you see the first half of that? Since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. All of us here, if we've seen Christ in his glory, you see what Paul says in verse 4 used to be true of us. We used to be blinded. And God, in his mercy, has opened our eyes to see the glory of Christ. This is God's work we're doing. It's God's mission. So as we talk to people, even if they, whatever truths they hold to, whatever they believe, actually we can share Christ with them with hope and with confidence, then that God is the one who can open people's eyes. Another thing we do, or another thing we don't do, verse 2, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. So we don't try to trick people into becoming Christians. I guess partly because it would be pointless. You can't trick someone into not being blind. You can't deceive someone. There's no point changing bits of the Bible or hiding bits we're kind of ashamed of, because we're not going to be able to deceive people out of blindness. You can't just force someone to not be blind. You can't kind of grab them by the shoulders and be like, "Don't be blind!" It just would be really annoying. What do we do? Setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We just can speak the gospel truth plainly, clearly. Not trying to trick people, not trying to lure them in and then wait until they've kind of signed up and then be like, "Aha, actually, now you've agreed to this." But we just openly proclaim Christ. Some other things we don't do, and I'm going to skip ahead now to a bit we didn't read, but if you want to go with me to verses 8 and 9, Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." And he goes on, "We always carry on in our body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." So one of the things we share with people the truth of the gospel is some people are going to push back. People are not going to agree with us. And actually, on the extreme side of things, we're going to be these people who are hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted. We shouldn't be surprised at that. We shouldn't be surprised if people try to persecute us, if people try to take away our freedom. Because of these truths, we think actually apart from Christ, we are blind, and we were blind. And apart from Christ, we were slaves. We didn't understand the truth of the gospel. We couldn't. And if someone just kind of came in and talked to us about God's help, we would want to respond negatively as well. We would want to hinder people's freedom. So we have this dilemma of, we want to share people the gospel. We want to make disciples of Jesus, but we want to value religious freedom. So what do we do? And what is the thing which should really mark us as we try to proclaim Christ? I think if you kind of asked people around, people who weren't Christians, they would say, the important thing is tolerance. We hear it all the time, isn't it? We should be tolerant of people's beliefs. And I think really when people say that, often what they really mean is acceptance. We should accept other people's beliefs, other people's religions. You can have your truth, I'll accept that, and then you can accept my truth. And if we do that, then we'll get along. We won't have quarrels, we won't have fights, we'll have peace. We just need to accept each other. So I should say, I believe this. I believe Jesus is the only way to God, the Son of God, the way to receive forgiveness of sins. You believe something else? That's great. I'll just accept that as well. You believe there's no God? Okay, well, that's okay. I'll accept that as well. And we're meant to just accept. Acceptance and tolerance is the thing we're told to kind of mark. Even if we're allowed to share our beliefs, we should do it with this kind of mark of tolerance. But I want to say, actually, when we look at this passage, that And when we think about what it means to be Christians, there's another word which really should mark our behavior, mark the way we speak and the words we say. And it's not tolerance, it's not acceptance, it's gentleness. The place I get that, if you want to turn with me, is in 2 Timothy. Paul's writing to Timothy and explaining what it means to be a follower of Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll read from verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. Says, "Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know this produces quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." Opponents must be gently instructed, trusting that it is God who will lead people to freedom. We are called to people, as we do this ministry, trying to make disciples of Christ, of people who we know are blinded to his truth. We are called to do it with gentleness. So I guess there are a couple of questions there. One question would be, okay, so what does that look like? I want to give us 2 examples. One of them is fairly extreme. The other one, a bit more normal. So the extreme example, at the beginning I mentioned that quote by Jim Elliot. Some of you may know about his life, his ministry, but he wasn't just someone who sort of said cool things. He was someone who lived them out. He went with a team to South America to try and reach these jungle tribes. And, you know, they went there and they tried to learn the language and the culture and get to close to this tribe who hadn't been contacted before, was known to be very aggressive, but they spent time trying to befriend them, trying to show that they were not hostile, that they came with peaceful intentions, with love. But one day they were attacked by this tribe, and they were killed, Jim and his teammates. But there's two things I find really incredible, actually, about the story. One of them is it turns out that, actually, Jim and his team, they had guns. So, you know, they're in a jungle, lots of dangerous animals around. They needed to protect themselves from those. But they had decided that, you know, they had come to love this tribe. They had come to share the good news with them, not to harm them. So they decided even if they were attacked, they wouldn't fire at them. They would fire in the air, try to scare them, but they were not going to harm anyone. The tribe people came at them with spears. So if they had wanted to, it would have been an easy fight, take them down. But they didn't. They didn't fight back, and they were killed. What's maybe even more incredible, actually, is that afterwards, Jim's wife, Elizabeth Elliot, and her friends, that they didn't say, "Well, that's it, you know, you had your chance, we're leaving you." They continued the ministry. And it was through the gentleness of Jim and Elliot and Elizabeth Elliot and the team with them that actually a lot of the tribe in the end became Christians. They couldn't argue with that much love, that much gentleness, while still holding out truth for the gospel. Now, like I said, that's kind of an extreme example, probably. We're not going to be in that kind of those situations. But, you know, actually, I think the idea of being able to fight back against someone and choosing not to, and the idea of choosing to show forgiveness and grace to people when they don't deserve it, are lessons we can learn there. But just to be kind of more down to earth, I guess, you don't have to go very far. If you were here last Sunday morning, you would have seen Gideon get baptized, and you would have heard him share his testimony. And in his testimony, actually, he shared how the turning point of him coming from someone who was kind of wandering away from church and from God, deciding to do his own thing, the thing that kind of brought him back was a simple text message just saying, "Hey, do you want to meet up for coffee?" It wasn't people kind of grabbing him and forcing him to come into church, say, "Hey, you need to listen to this. You need to listen to the truth." Wasn't people arguing with him? Wasn't people pulling him up, saying, "What you're doing, the way you're living is out of order, you need to change this and this and this." It was just a real gentle offer to, "Hey, let's come on, meet up, sit down, share coffee, and just let me know how your life has been." So I think, you know, all of us probably have a friend or family, and especially coming up the Christmas season, maybe that's something you can just think of. You could just send a text. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. And when you meet up, you don't have to be kind of questioning them like, hey, you know, when was the last time you came to church? You know, why aren't you coming to church? Just ask them, how are things going? Just gently speaking to someone. My own testimony is actually very similar to that as well. I came to university here in Leeds, growing up going to church. First year was kind of just being pushed all over the place. Desire to my friends, not really kind of church very occasionally, but really not living for Christ at all. I joined the Ultimate Frisbee team, and one of the guys on the team was a Christian. One day just, you know, we talked a little bit, but he said, hey, Levi, let's go for coffee. We went for coffee, and then we were just chatting that day, and he said, hey, you know, we could do this next week, and maybe if it's okay, we could open the Bible together. We could read the Bible. That's what he said, and I thought, that sounds kind of interesting, and this is a really cool guy, so let's do that. And just actually, as we read through the Bible, and he never pushed on me like, hey, this is truth, you should believe this. He just opened it up to me, and let me see for myself the glory of the gospel. And through that, God opened my eyes to see. So just a final thought then to close with, because if we're going to be people who make disciples of Christ, but do it with a real mark of gentleness, if we're going to be people who engage with people who have different religious beliefs, but do it gently, we're going to be people who don't distort things, but just openly share Jesus with people who we know are blinded, and people who are going to sometimes push back on us, and we're going to face even maybe persecution. The question is, how do we become those kind of people? Right? How do we become gentle enough to, if we have a situation which is, you know, in some way maybe similar to what Jamelia faced, how are we going to be people who are willing to not fight back? I think I've saved the best few verses for last. So let's have a look just at those last couple of verses in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's God's work. It's the Spirit's work to make us more like Christ. And he does it as we look to Christ. And as we've mentioned, as Christians, we actually have this incredible freedom that we have the Bible. You can go into probably most bookshops in Leeds and buy a Bible, and you could walk around if you wanted in the street up in the air. There are countries in the world where you can't do that. You can't buy a Bible. Countries where you can't be found with a Bible. We have one, and we can read it, and in it we can see the glory of Christ reflecting back through God's plan of salvation. And as we behold Christ in his word, the promise is that the Spirit will take that and it will make us more and more like him. It will make us more and more like our Savior, who is so gentle that he came to this world and allowed himself to be crucified for our sins. And he didn't fight back. He says himself, I could call down legions upon legions of angels. But he didn't. He gave up his rights and his power for us. And we can become more and more like that Savior. So that as we share the gospel with people who are from different backgrounds, different religious views, we can do it with that same gentleness. As we share gospel with our friends and family who aren't believers, we can do it with that same gentle spirit, that same grace. And even as we interact with other churches and other Christians who maybe hold to different beliefs than us on some things, we can also do that. And we can engage with people. We don't have to hide. We don't have to just accept. We can talk. We can discuss. And we can push back on people and share the truth when we need to. But we can do it with gentleness because Christ will make us more and more like him by his Spirit. He will give us that true freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the freedom you've brought into our lives. Jesus, that we were, apart from you, we were blind and we were slaves to our sin, desperate. And Jesus, that you didn't leave us there. You didn't just allow us to go our own way, but you came into our lives. You've done it in so many different ways. In some of our lives, maybe, Jesus, you did it so gently that we didn't even notice you doing it. But Jesus, we thank you that you have given us all that freedom, that true freedom from spiritual blindness and from spiritual slavery. Jesus, that we are now free. And Lord, we long to share that freedom with others. So many here in Leeds who have different views, with different beliefs, different religions, being brought up to hold to different values, and who all, apart from you, Jesus, are blind and are slaves. And we long to share the freedom you've given us with them. So, Jesus, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, be changing us, making us more and more into your likeness, that we can share your good news, that gospel of the glory of your light. And we can do it in a way which is really gentle and will help people to receive your gift of salvation. Jesus, we pray this for the sake of your glory and in your name. Amen.